you all tonight. I'd like to welcome you all tonight on this Thursday night to the Thursday night Wisdom Call, Bible Study, and Prayer. I am Pastor Lester Hayes, with my lovely wife, Pastor Sharon Hayes, and we're joined tonight by Pastor Eric and Phoebe Davis, the More Than Conquerors Voice of Christ Ministry, and Pastor Sharon and I, Freedom Christian Ministry. And we come together tonight, amen, to share some wisdom, amen. This is our Thursday night Wisdom Call, Bible Study, and Prayer. And we just thank the Lord, amen, for we ask him for wisdom, and he gives it to us liberally. And in all our getting, when we get wisdom, we got to know how to apply it so we don't walk away with the wisdom without understanding. So in all of our getting, we try to get some understanding so that we are 100% guaranteed to have the right application. Amen. And so we thank God for wisdom that pertains to all of the areas in our life that pertains to life and godliness, that we might be able to enjoy the best life possible that we can build for ourselves that guarantees us the result and a better future, the best future that's possible. And God helps us. He gives us the instruction. He gives us the doctrine. He gives us the word to reprove us, have a foundation that we can lay to correct us and instruct us in righteousness so that we as men and women of God can be thoroughly furnished and prepared unto every good work. That guarantees us a better life for a better future. Amen. The best life really comes from that foundation that's already been laid. And except the Lord build the house, and that's how he builds on that foundation that has already been laid, that teaching of the apostles and prophets where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of every building, you know. And so except he build the house, all of our labor is in vain. So tonight, you know, we want to come and share words that make for sound doctrine, because sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. And if you got healthy doctrine, you got a healthy life. And which is one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, a life of wellness, you know, optimal overall wellness. And we're talking about physical wellness, spiritual wellness, mental wellness, you know, emotional wellness, social wellness, environmental wellness, occupational wellness, and financial wellness. We want to be whole when we stand before God. We want to be complete, you know, amen, because we eat this whole loaf, and we know that it yields a whole blessing for a whole person to be complete in Christ Jesus. The word completes us, amen, and makes us that we're not yet what we're going to be, but we know if we continue on this diet, this word, eating this word, you know, building ourselves up in it, you know, perfecting those things, maturing us in those things that God has given us, then we'll be whole, we'll be well, we'll be sound, we'll be solid, amen, because that's what the word does for us, amen. It makes us complete in who God created us to be, to do what God created us to do, and to have what God created us to have. So we thank God tonight for you all joining with us. So let's pray and get into the word tonight. As we gather together again, welcome. Father God, in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we gather together tonight on the Thursday night Wisdom Call, Bible Study, and Prayer, we thank you, Lord God, for bringing us down the road safely from one destination to another destination without incident. We thank you for all the things that were accomplished on our trip and our visit. And Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for how you bless us in the field. You bless us in the city. You bless us in our going, our coming, our getting up, our laying down. You bless us in our body. You bless us in our baskets, God. You bless us, God. Hallelujah, because it is your good pleasure to bless us and to do good by us, God. And so as we look to you tonight, the author, finisher, and developer of our faith, we look to you tonight with hearts of gratitude and grateful and thankful to all that you've done, that you're doing, and that you promised to do. Thank you that you saved us and we're saved. You healed us and we're healed. Therefore, you are our praise. And we come and enter your gates tonight with thanksgiving. And we come in your courts with praise tonight because you are worthy to be praised. And we will bless you, Lord, at all times. And your praise shall continue to be in our mouth. We're here tonight to make known to you our adoration and love this day, not tomorrow, but today. And so we just thank you, Lord God, for all things working together for the good of us who love God and they which are called according to your purpose. as we look to you tonight, God, we just pray that your will be done in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you tonight, Lord God, that we will speak words tonight to the ears of the hearers tonight, God, words that make for sound doctrine. Holy Ghost, we thank you tonight for just speaking to us tonight, from the word of God, the wisdom of God. And so we'll be knowledgeable as we get off the line tonight. We'll have foundation reinforced, Lord. We'll be able to build, oh Lord God, hallelujah, on a firm foundation that has already been laid, the teaching of the apostles and prophets. And it is our prayer and desire tonight, Lord God, that every church, Lord, Sunday school, Bible school, college, whatever it is, God, will speak words that make for sound doctrine in prayer, in songs, God, in praise, whatever the conversation, Lord God, as we train our children, as we conversate with one another, as iron sharpens iron, we'll do it all with words that make for sound doctrine, that we may be built up in the word of God that will never pass away, that will go forth out of our mouth, which is your mouth, God, and never return to you void. We have found your word and eaten your word, and your word is still a joy and rejoicing to our hearts, as it was with Jeremiah. Be it so with us tonight. As we pray now, every church, Lord God, will begin to speak words and teach words, and pray and preach words, and Father God, that make for sound doctrine. We're praying for this across the body of Christ. We're praying for this in homes, and we're praying for this, God, hallelujah, in synagogues and temples and wherever there's a gathering in the name of Jesus, that all words will be spoken that will make for sound doctrine, because the time will come in these last days, but they will not endure sound doctrine. So let this be the hour. Let this be the moment. Let this be the time, Lord God, that we preach words and teach words and say words, pray words, Lord God, and share words that make for sound doctrine. This is our prayer and our call tonight, Lord God, to the masses out there. As we open up your word tonight, Holy Ghost, have your way. Lead, God, direct tonight, hallelujah, the conversation, the word that we're about to share, and the comments that are about to come back. Establish us in your word tonight, that we might be rooted and grounded in sound doctrine tonight. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. As we gather together tonight, we continue to pray for all those we previously prayed for that are standing in need of a healing, a physical healing, a spiritual healing. God, we're just praying. Thank you for the good report that we got with Pastor Phoebe today. Thank you for the future appointments that are already made, and everything, God, will go as planned, and we'll be able to make those appointments and be there, Lord God, and share in those appointments, Lord God. And we thank you for all that you did in these last few days and all that you're going to do, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Now let your will be done tonight on this line. As we pray tonight, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, Holy Ghost, lead, guide, and direct, take control of the conversation tonight, and we'll give your name, your name, all the praise, glory, and honor, Father. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, your spirit, lead us now through the lesson. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. All right, then. Well, tonight, we want to talk on the wisdom, Thursday night, wisdom call and Bible study and prayer. Tonight, out of a text out of the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Amen. Chapter 4. And some of the verses that drew my attention has a lot to do with the time that has come, you know, time that is coming, time for preaching words, teaching words, as we've heard, as we prayed last night on the Wednesday night hour power prayer call. I just believe that there's an urgent appeal for preaching and teaching and praying and seeing everything to be done that makes for sound doctrine. And so I was drawn to this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and I know y'all are familiar with it. He wrote a letter like this to Timothy, and he also wrote a letter to another son of his in the gospel called Titus. Amen. And we're going to deal a little bit for a few minutes out of the Paul's epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to deal with a subject that kind of came to me as I was pondering over this. Can we, as born-again, spirit-filled believers, not just, there's a lot of folks out there say they believe, but it's a different thing when you are born-again, spirit-filled, healed, healed. You know, we know the word of God. You can't just take, you know, regular intellect and discern it. So there's got to be some work of the spirit there. This is what brings the soundness to it. You know what I'm saying? You just can't think it up or come up with it. The soundness there, that means that it's solid, it's sure, it's pure, it's infallible, it's authentic, it's very sound. And that makes it very healthy for us spiritually. But this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow spiritually. We're trying to mature spiritually. We are of age naturally. We have a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom. We've been to school. We've been taught. We're graduates. We have degrees. So we're sound in that level of regular everyday wisdom and knowledge. But we want to be sound in spiritual knowledge. Healthy spiritual, you know, is what it's all about. And so can we, though, as born-again, spirit-filled believers, build a better life or the best life that we can without sound doctrine? That's a question that we're going to have to ask. And we should already be able to give an answer. Should it be spontaneous? No, we cannot. We have found that we failed up until the time we got saved. Once we got saved, something happened, and we're living in what happened, the newness of life, you know. And then we started hearing the word after we got saved, and it was though it came alive. It was though it sounded different. You know, we've been in church before. We heard preaching and teaching before. But once we got saved, we got filled and sealed and baptized with the Holy Ghost, that word had a different soundness to it. It sounded different. It tasted different. It made us feel different. It quickened something in us. You know, it got us to thinking differently, talking differently. It even broke some of us to a point where we cried in places that we didn't cry before over stuff. We lost our desire to go places we had been before because there was a certain soundness that took place. Meaning that there was something so genuine, something so pure, something so revelatory, revealing about that word after we got saved. It just had a different soundness about it. It wasn't something that just went over our heads. It captivated our attention, made us want to go read. We even went and bought Bibles. We even started reading the Bible. Some of us even went to Bible college and ordered some classes. We became so interested in what was totally different. We wanted to learn. We wanted to be taught. It's because it was so sound. It sounded different to us. It was very sound, you know, and we liked what it sounded like. We liked how it made us feel. And so I want to talk about that tonight. You know, can we do this life that we're trying to build without sound doctrine? I answered as soon as I thought about that. I said, no, can't. We've proven that to ourselves. We can't, because if we could, we would have before we got saved. It was not going to happen. But once we got saved, a certain level of hunger and thirst and a craving came over us, and it had to be satisfied. It had to be satisfied. And we knew that no watered-down stuff was going to do it. No tradition of men was no longer going to do it. No philosophy was going to do it. You know, all these books we have been reading, good books, good information, good history, put good stories in there, but it wasn't going to satisfy that deep craving in that inner man. Like David said, cause me to know that truth in my inward parts and wisdom in my innermost being. It's just that those other doctrines and philosophies and spiritual excellence and all that, it just couldn't get to that place in us that crave and hunger for that thirst for God and his righteousness. But once we found out what it took, that word, and then we saw how quick and powerful that word was, it really was like Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, is that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts the thunder between the separation and the dividing of soul and spirit and bone and marrow. We actually begin to feel like that word was penetrating, like something was quickening us on the inside. And we could not deny the power of that word. It was like it was living, like it came alive. Even like now when we talk about it, it's totally quickening. It does something to us. It quickens our mortal mind, causes us to think different. And so we know now without the word, we could not make it spiritually. We will still be able to make it natural because we got jobs. We got retirement. We got career. So we'll be able to take care of ourselves, you know, the things that we need physically. But without the word of God, we'll never be able to be satisfied spiritually, you know. And so the Lord said, but if you hunger and thirst for it, you'll be filled. And so that's what he promised, and that's what he does, what he said he's going to do, you know. And so that sound doctrine fulfills and completes what God said to us. Now, where in the Bible do we see where there's preaching and teaching of sound doctrine? Because we always like examples. We like to see it in motion, like to see it in action. Well, again, I was taken to the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And there are other places I went over a whole bunch of as I prayed last night. And we'll probably touch on some more of those as we continue to deal with this subject matter. But listen at this charge that Paul gave Timothy. And I felt like personally that this was a charge to every preacher, every teacher, every student, that you should personally let the word charge you. Okay, listen to what Paul charged Timothy and Titus and all the others that we've been talking about, these examples. He says, this is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start at verse 2. He said, preach the word, be instant when in season and out of season. That means this word fits every season that we find ourselves in. It fits that season. It fits us for that season. And we want to be fitted for every season that we go through. This is why we can't build a better life without the sound doctrine. It's like a suit. It fits us. We're word people, you know. We're word people, you know. And he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Then he says, reprove. That word reprove means check yourself out, examine yourself against the word, especially if you're under a word-believing, word-teaching, word-preaching church, because that word should be able to locate what's wrong in my life without somebody telling me, you're wrong. When I hear the word, that doctrine, that sound doctrine, it should be able to penetrate something in me that tells me, you can't do that. You're wrong. And then not just tell me I'm wrong or convict me. That's what we call spiritual conviction when you hear that word. And sometimes people will say, you're stepping on my toes, pastor, a minister, reverend. Well, we're talking about something totally different here. We understand what we'd be saying when we say stepping on my toes. No, it's conviction taking place because I'm being reproved by the word I heard. And it says rebuke. So as a preacher now, he's saying, and this word rebuke here, we like to say what it says in the book of Jude, okay? It's okay. Here's the sound doctrine about rebuke. Jesus has already rebuked the one that needs to be rebuked. That rebuke is solid. So when he says rebuke, teach the people to say what Jesus did already. Satan, Jesus has already rebuked you. And call his name. Don't be afraid to tell him what Jesus has already done. You know what that's doing? Reminding him of what has already happened. Now, reprove is something I take personally. That's for me personally. But when I'm rebuking, okay, I know that if someone is being used by the devil, it's not the flesh and blood, but it's Satan, the adversary, who's gone to and fro and found a vulnerable place in this person's life to attack them. We have to be able to discern that. Instead of rebuking them, we remind the spirit behind it, because I know it's a spiritual attack and assault on them. Devil, it's written. Jesus Christ in the book of Jude have already rebuked you, and you are still rebuked. You know, and if it's in my personal life, you're not going to rebuke yourself, but you can rebuke that spirit. You can tell that spirit that Jesus reminded what Jesus has already did. It's good for Satan when he's attacking us to know that the children of God know what their Savior has already done. He is petrified and terrified when we know the truth and the truth makes us free. Now, the words we say, they make for sound doctrine. He hears it. He knows it's sound. He knows where it's coming from. If you remember when Jesus spoke to the person in the demon-possessed son in the tomb, that demon recognized what Jesus, who Jesus was. So we don't need to be telling them, I rebuke you, Satan. I'm telling them, when I say Jesus, them demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They said, Jesus, we know. You know, who are you? We see another episode where they went to Paul, we know, Jesus, but who are you? And them sons of Sceva, this is why we have to be careful sometimes. There are instances where I should say what Jesus said, just repeat it, remind Satan where it came from. There are other times when I can just give the word pure and unadulterated, infallible, authentic, spoken in love without compromise. The bottom line is we have to speak words that make for sound doctrine. It's no sounder than speaking what Jesus spoke and giving him the credit. It's sort of like sometimes when we use other people's quotes and whatnot, we don't often give them credit. That's called like plagiarism. Is there such thing as spiritual plagiarism? Well, the Lord has gave us his book, his word, to use it as a weapon. But we ought to at least want to give some Jesus credit for some of the things that he's done when it comes to Satan. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, Satan, Jesus has already made a show of you opening. He spoiled your principality. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, the King James Bible, he made, tell him, Satan, Jesus made a show of you opening. He spoiled your principality. You know, Satan, when you come in like a flood, Jesus raised up the standard against you. You know, sometimes we can use that name because we know demons tremble at that name. Other times we just use the word while we studied it, we know it, we're a mouthpiece, so we just say it in real time. But I love the fact that Jesus already rebuked him, and that rebuke still holds fast. And Satan needs to know that we know that, and we know where it's at. And we tell him, Jesus already rebuked you, you know. And so he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If we're going to exhort, do it with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, if somebody get on my last nerve, okay, I might let them get away one time. They might come a second time. They might do the same thing a third time. That's where the long suffering comes in. Yeah. I was thinking yesterday, as I was thinking about tonight, I said, so many times we be on fire. We be praising God. We be singing praise songs, riding down the road. And all of a sudden, something happens that throws me off. And it's like I catch myself sometimes feeling the way that, man, do is this how a saved person supposed to act or respond? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I ain't got no more patience. You know, I'm ready to say something, do something, say something. You know, and that happens sometimes, you know. You know, sometimes we be so short with people, we be so quick to straighten them out. But, you know, it's just a human fact, you know, that happens to us. But look at what he said. He said, long-suffering and with doctrine. So sometimes we give them the doctrine, but we skip the long-suffering. You know, they might not get it the first time. Might have to tell them a third time, a fourth time. Might come back and have to tell them again next week or the following week. That's that long-suffering. And sometimes, you know, they wear our patience out because we think they got it the first time. And they might come back the next time. It's like, man, I thought I already went over that with them. Here we go again, you know. But listen to what he said now about this doctrine. Don't just jump to the doctrine. Be ready to, man, to do some long suffering. And we'll put it in context because here's what I thought about when I was thinking like that today. It was really funny to me, you know, because I was looking at myself sometimes, how sometimes people can, things that people do will pull me a certain way. And I started thinking about how long it took the Lord to get my attention. Come on, man. And I said, man, he proved to me about long-suffering. Mm-hmm. And even now, he's still long-suffering.
Yeah.
He's still putting up with some of my craziness.
Yeah.
Some of my thin-skinned moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my moments when I have to examine myself and ask myself, are you really saved, Pastor? You know, why are you thinking like that? Why were you about to say that? Why did you say that? And sometimes I tell myself, well, I was just being sarcastic. But did they perceive it that way? You know what I'm saying? Did they perceive it that way? You know, can God use your sarcasm? Mm. Man, sometimes I kiss with them and say, well, he had a sense of humor. He laughed. But see, you ain't him. Because what is your motivation might not be the same as his motivation. Your humor might not be on the same level as his humor. That's why I have to go and look at how he did it and then see if I'm applying it that way. Because he gave us permission to do the work I did the way I did it. And greater works are you going to do. But I first got to see what he did. That's what makes a sound doctrine. You know, because it comes with long suffering. Don't be so quick sometimes to react. Don't be so, be long suffering, be a little patient. Wait a few minutes before you speak. I'm learning the value of that. I'm trying to really, really get my mind around studying to be quiet. It's not easy for me, y'all. I'm a talker. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. You know, I like to say things. You know what I'm saying? I like to communicate. But these last few years, I'm really learning to be temperate when I speak. I try to be more of a listener now. I mean, it is not easy. It's a lot of work required. Because sometimes I feel like, because I want to say it, they need to hear it, but that ain't always the case. So I'm learning to be able to discern when to and when not to. And I'm telling you, for a person who used to speaking, that is not an easy task. Maybe easy for some folks, ain't easy for me. But I'm working on it. But a part of being a Christian, especially a preacher, okay, a teacher, and how to be able to be quiet sometimes when you want to speak. You're just driven to say it, man, because then you feel like, man, it needs to be said. Well, long-suffering says a lot of things sometimes. But Jesus was long-suffering. And they got his message. Some people followed him because he was quiet when they were abusing him. And when he did speak, it resonated with them and some of them got converted. Because they were like, man, all that they done put him through, he never said a word. Then later on, when he did what he told them he was going to do, they said, it's got to be the Son of God. Then they heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Absolutely, it is the Son of God. You know, did what he said he was going to do. And so he said, long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, we see that time is on us right now. You know, we were talking about how many churches we have seen on this last few days when we were traveling. I saw three churches, like one house in between each church on the same side of the road. Three new churches, you know, had the pictures of the pastor and the wife up on the picture, and, you know, had the name of the ministry, all three different names, all on the same side of the road. A church right there, a house, a store, then another church, and another house and store, then another church. All right there now within walking distance of each other. Got down the road a little further, three, four more churches. So there's a ton of churches out there. And I started asking myself, I wonder if all of those churches are speaking words to their congregation that make for sound doctrine. And I kind of answered my own question to myself, and I could have been off when I did. Because I simply said, if they were really saying words of sound doctrine, they all could probably be in one church and be satisfied. Now, that was just me. That might have been judgmental, premature, but that's how I started thinking. Because within the block, before we got to the light, I counted four more churches, bigger churches. And I said, something is not right here. All these churches right here got different names. I'm just wondering if they all the teaching or speaking words in the congregation or in this community. Do people come to those churches? Are they coming there and hearing sound doctrine? You know, that in that close of proximity, it just caused me to wonder about the doctrine, you know. And it says, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fable. What they want to hear, you know? And I said to myself, all these people that are right here in this neighborhood, is there so many churches that because that one ain't saying what they want to hear, this one might be, or that one over there. I said, I wonder if you got family members from the same family in that church, one house over, same family with family members in that church, one house over, store over, with family members from the same church in that church, because it's got to be something that their ears are hearing that caused that many churches. They look like open churches, functional churches, you know, that do church, had the schedule up. Some of them had pictures up there with revival that was coming. One had I didn't see all the pictures, but it probably was a dozen pictures of something that's coming. I said, so all of them now has got some event going on to attract people at the same time. One was a revival. Another one said something about some church anniversary celebration. And another one had some kind of conference. I think it said conference, a family event that was coming up. All at the same time. I said, so what are they doing? Trying to outdo each other? They see they doing something. Okay, we're going to do something. Because they don't want their members to go over there with them each and each. You know, and so I just started thinking about what kind of doctrine is going on in there. That they all got to do something about the same time as that competition. What's going on? You know? And he says, fable. You know? It's in ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. So they bring in teachers. They heap them up. They want to tell them what they want to hear. Ears are itching for it. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, so that we don't get caught up in the competition. We know what we're saying is solid. You know, we know it's good in every season, out of season. The word of God is good for reproof, good for rebuke, good for exhortation, with all long-suffering and doctrine. We don't want to try to switch up because somebody's doing this over here. I'm going to have an anniversary to outdo them. I'm going to have an event to outdo them. All of this stuff, man, nothing but a bunch of fable. Because we know that this is what the people want. What about what the people need? He says, speak words that make for sound doctrine. You know, not fable, not what all these teachers heap up themselves to try to tell people what they want to hear. You know, again, that's in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. I just read you. And it says, you know, Paul speaks and warns about unsound doctrine. That's what he just told Timothy there. Unsound doctrine. That doctrine that only hits your ears. It don't reach your heart. Don't penetrate your heart. Which says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. It ain't what they want to hear at the time. Instead, they want somebody to come that's going to say something that's going to suit their own desires. You know? Some preachers get fired if they don't preach. That way, a lot of time when they bring in so many, they do trial sermons, they want to hear for 5 minutes what they got to say. If they like what they say, they might hire them. They will gather around them, a great number of preachers. They bring them, and I know because I've seen this stuff, and teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And then depending on what them 10 board members, 5 deacons and 5 deaconesses, what they voted on, say, yep, we like this one over there. They got a good word. I like the way they chrome, you know, all this stuff. Nothing based on sound doctrine. Paul called it to Timothy unsound doctrine. To make your ears itch and don't make your heart convict, then there's something wrong with it. So let's go back up to verse 1 in that fourth chapter of the second book of Timothy before we close. He says, I charge thee therefore before God. That's the key right there. Not before the 10-member board. But he said, I charge thee, Timothy, just like any other preacher that's going to preach instant in season, out of season, words that make for sound doctrine. It's a charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, you know. He charged him first now before God and before Jesus Christ. And, you know, the one that's going to judge. Oh, you know, I love this because this confirms open the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 42, King James Bible, where Paul was telling the ministers in that church in Ephesus, he said, look, God has commanded us to preach the word of God to the people of God and to testify about the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Here's the mystery, that Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and the dead. And here it is again, Paul is telling Timothy, I charge you with this, Timothy, just like I charged them back in Acts. It's the same for all preachers, all evangelists, all bishops, all of them. All of them are basic ministers, servants, supposed to be anyway. And so the charge is the same. He don't cut no corners. Don't care what title man put on you. He says, look, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. Preach that word and tell them when to preach it and how to preach it. But that time will come. It's critical now that people want to endure that sound doctrine. They won't do it, you know. And he goes on down here, man, and I want to say verse 6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time for my departure is at hand. Paul is passing the torch on. But he's making sure that Timothy understands, man, you can't just go out here and set up a church over here next to that church and start preaching something because you trying to outdo that church. That seems to be what's going on right now. It's fashionable. And people just go start a ministry and call themselves apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. Some of them got four or five titles, pastor, minister, doctor, prophet, evangelist. I mean, they got everything. Long list, you know, because they're saying, if I don't get them one way, I'm going to get them with one title, I'm going to get them with this title. And people think that that's some type of anointing, some type of special calling on their life, because they see the long title. Now what I noticed, everybody don't like to call themselves a pastor. They say doctor, reverend so-and-so. That's popular now. Doctor, D-R, period. Reverend, they'll put reverend, then they put their name. Or they'll say doctor, put in parentheses, minister so-and-so, and lady, whoever. So they're exploring with these titles because they're seeing what's popular. And when they go out and start a ministry now, they just mimic what's popular. Ain't charged by God now. Cause all said preach. So just be satisfied with being a preacher that preached to God. So that's what Paul said. We commanded to preach. You know, we're all ministers of reconciliation, right? Ain't satisfied with that. That's not going to draw the crowd. They want the big label, the big title. And they put it up there on a billboard. They went and got a picture taken and blew it up, you know. And they want to make themselves look the part, you know. And people are like, they must be. Look at all that anointing on them. But aren't they charged by God, before God? You don't see that up there in the nowhere, you know. And so this is what Paul is telling Timothy. You know, that we have to, and he's telling them how to. How do you teach sound doctrine? How do you preach sound doctrine? You know, how can we understand it without the word? Without the word, it's not sound doctrine. Without the word that has already been inspired and given us, it's not sound doctrine. Paul said we have to speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, okay? Chapter 4, verse 15, King James Bible. See, all the sound doctrine is already given to us. And Paul is trying to bring Timothy, Titus, and everyone else around to get them, matter of fact, I might as well go ahead and say what he told Titus in the book of Titus, chapter 1, I want to say verse think I gave it to you last night. Here it is. He said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Mm-hmm. Now, we know the gainsayers. They out there trying to game the people. They're trying to game by what they say. You know, don't necessarily have to be the word. You know, they're trying to say whatever to get that filthy lucre. They're gaming. They're gaming the system. They're gainsaying. They're making it, swelling it up, swelling words, Tyson words, excellence of speech. You know, they know it ain't pure. And adulterate. Then in the second chapter, verse 1, look at what he said. He says, but speak thou what? The things which become sound doctrine. The things that become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine to who? To people who hear it. It goes above and beyond fable. It sticks with them. It's hard to separate from it. Even after you spoke it, it might be a week later, it'll still be speaking. Why? It don't come back void. And when you speak it in love, it's going to do what God sent it to do. You know? He said, preach that word. You know? And then we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 5, and I'm getting ready to close. King James Bible says, if any man, y'all need to hear this now, if any man, I'll say a woman that preach to and teach, I'll say any man or woman, he say, teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, that word wholesome, to my healthy words, you're going to become healthy spiritually, okay? Even the words of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Not just philosophy, not fable, not enticing words, excellency of speech, wisdom of the word, but that leads to godliness. You know, that's the result. Am I going to become sanctified by it? We know what Jesus prayed to the Father. He told the Father, them that you've given to me, sanctify them with thy word, because thy word is truth. Book of John, chapter 17, verse 17, the King James Bible. This is what he's talking about here. That's got to be what the word you give them do to me.
Come on.
Sanctify them, set them aside, consecrate them, purify them, convict them, reprove them, correct them. You know, give them a foundation.
That's right.
You know, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And so, you know, it just goes without saying. Now, I'm going to end with this, and you've heard it before. It's in the book of 2 Peter. I know y'all know where I'm going. I'll finish after this. Chapter 1 and verse 21. Knowing this first, but we open it up and try to teach it or preach it, we got to come to a conclusion here about it. Most people don't. This is why so many churches that close to each other, that proximity, because a lot of them get into trying to interpret the scripture for the people. Yeah, a lot of folks go there because some folks have made themselves an authority. They like to try to interpret what the word is saying. You know, and I'm going to tell you how I know this, because right now, I would say 95% of the churches out there will make this statement, because I've seen it with all this stuff that's going on. Oh, we're living in the last days without giving them a scripture. Okay, tell me where it say that in the Bible. It's like we say all the time, people make these statements, post stuff out there, but they never give you where it's at. This is why we try to get into business. And when we make a statement, we base it on the word, and we tell you for your own follow-on reference and examination where you can go find it and read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. Not just take my word because I'm a pastor, I'm whoever. When the scripture says this, knowing this first, for no prophecy, and that's talking about that word prophecy, is also talking about preaching, teaching. That's what prophecy is, preaching and teaching the word, okay, giving the word. Of the scripture is of what? any, I like that word, any private interpretation. I don't care how much college education you've got. I don't care how many DRs, MDs in front of your name. I don't care how many boards have certified you. I don't care how many plaques and certificates you've got on your wall in your office. It says that all that stuff disqualifies you for private interpretation. But it seems like we qualify people for private interpretation because of all that stuff. And it goes against the scripture. Knowing this verse, verse 21 says, and I'm finished, for the prophecy came not in old time by what? The will of man. So if it didn't come when God inspired them to do it, minor prophets, major prophets, it shouldn't be that way today. Because he does not change. His message don't change. His method of doing things, communicating, don't change. It was foretold. Some of it has happened. It's being fulfilled right now, but you got to go look in the Word to know what's being fulfilled, and it will continue until Jesus Christ comes and redeems this church. And that's what we're going to be judged by when he opens up the book. And we will give an account if we've added something to it. We left our private interpretation. Somebody's going to be shipwrecked if we lean toward our own understanding. They're going to fall in the ditch, and you're going to fall in there with them. That's what the scripture says. At least we all fall in and perish. Not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, not of their own volition, as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. That ain't changed. Because the doctrine that we learn, that's taught to us from the Word of God, when the Holy Ghost quickens and brings us back to our remembrance, it doesn't get any sounder than that. But that's his job, to bring it back. This is why we say the memory of the just is blessed, because the Holy Ghost is bringing back what we studied, what we hid in our hearts, that we don't sin against God. That's one of his jobs. He's the Spirit of truth. He teaches us things that we haven't learned yet. He brings back to us things that we have learned, that Jesus taught when he was on this earth, ready for our learning. Don't want us to ignorantly worship him. So he sends the Spirit of truth, the promise of the Father, come alongside to help us to remember what he taught, and then to teach us things that are to come, and then things that we don't know yet. But we have to be led by his Spirit. He leads, guides, directs, orders our steps. He comes alongside of us to help us remember. And if we need conviction, we need reproving. He uses the Word of God to do it. He don't go out and create some stuff. He takes and uses that word to convict us, remind us, bring it back to us. This is why David realized he made a mistake. And he thought the Lord had taken the Holy Spirit from him. Well, he wasn't depending on him when he looked at Bathsheba. He was depending on his kingship. Some of these folks depend on their title. And why they think they can go out here and sneak around through all of this, ain't nobody going to say nothing because they outrank everybody in the church. But you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. This stuff does happen because they don't fear God. They don't fear the Holy Ghost. There's no conviction there. There's no restraint there. That title gets you in trouble. So we're going to end right there. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, tonight for the teaching. Thank you for reminding us, Holy Spirit, about the things that we say that they should lead to sound doctrine. We thank and praise you, Lord. The time will come and has come, and it is on us right now, where people will not endure sound doctrine because they have itching ears. They want somebody to come and tell them what they want to hear. So they bring in all these teachers, all these false prophets, and they want to hear what they got to say. And if it does not go along with what they want to hear, Lord God, they will not bring them again. They will not hear them again. And so this church goes on for those to come in that have itching ears and say things that people want to hear. You call them in the word, Paul fable. Meaning it's not based on the infallible, authentic word of God, but it's based on the wisdom of men, their private interpretation, where you warned us that there is no private interpretation. So, Father, we thank and praise you now. Let this word be established in us, and let us be established in it, that that we might stand on, preach on, teach on, pray on, sing on, live on by sound doctrine. We thank you for sealing in us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.